Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And now it's recording, right?
Great.
It's on red.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, guys, welcome back to The Shift.
Hello, welcome back.
Speaking of shift.
Hey.
I'm in a manual transmission, so this is not going to be as smooth as normal. I'm not holding a mic for any... safety advocates. I'm using the machine. But, you know, I have to concentrate on my driving. You know, I actually looked up, and it's not illegal to speak into a mic while you're driving.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, tour guides do it on buses. You know those tour buses?
Oh, yeah. I wonder, do they have a headset? We have to get you a little headset.
I googled headset.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I want to do a lot of driving ones. Because I'm going to do some Des Bishop podcasts while I'm back too. So,
cool.
But I like doing them when I'm driving, you know. Katie, do me a wee favor.
Sure.
Knock yours up just about 0.5 of a number there on number one there. No, up.
Wait.
Up as in higher.
So, oh, sorry. Yeah, I was going the wrong way.
Yeah. So just.
Does that sound better?
Just, yeah, maybe just a touchdown now.
How does that sound?
That's great. No, just
great.
I wanted to get your volume in. I mean, in actual fact, you should have the headphones in, really.
Yeah.
Since you're controlling the.
Oh right, yeah.
The thing, but I'm not gonna take.
That's
my
a
head.
Lot.
I'm not gonna take the headphones out of my waxy ears and put them in your ears.
It's a lot of pressure for me.
It's
as
too.
Well.
It's too intimate.
Yeah.
That's just too intimate. I get a lot of messages, by the way, about what's going on between us. Do you get that?
No, actually, not really. People ask me, I guess, when they... Do you know what people ask me, I guess, when they meet me or whatever, but... No, not too many.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few now. All from women, obviously.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, you guys are such a great couple. I'm so glad you're together. It's like,
oh,
yeah,
I did get that written on a post. I was like, what?
What, saying, oh, it's so great that you guys are together?
Yeah, someone wrote it on a picture put up of the two of us being like, oh, you two make a cute couple in the matching colors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody messaged me yesterday about that too, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
And she was like, but you do a sex podcast together. I was like, yeah, we talk about sex. It doesn't mean we're not having sex and discussing how the sex went.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be, I don't know. Anyway.
Needless to say, I'm not putting my waxy fucking earphones into your ear.
Thanks.
So anyway, just to give you guys a sense of place. Because I was actually going to wait a little further down the road to begin chatting, but we're on the M7 on our way to Cork, just passing the Newbridge exit. We flew. See, the construction is finished. For our American listeners, for our non-Irish listeners, you don't have a sense, but Ireland has developed a lot during my comedy career of 22 years, nearly 23 years now. A lot of development has happened during my career, and I have traveled these roads up and down for a long time, and. A recent development is there's now 3 lanes on the M7, which has finished since the last time I was back in Ireland.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of things that give me a semi. But these fucking 3 lanes being open, I'm hot. I'm hot as fuck right now. Because I haven't gotten this far on this road this quick in a long time.
Yeah.
This is exciting. This is as close as a motorway can be to a wet vagina for me.
So there you go. He's not in a relationship with me, but he is with Rhodes.
I love I love this three-lane highway.
Can now, I ask a question? Oh, sorry. Do you know what I realized? You know the way I always
Are you apologizing because you said, no, can I ask
yeah,
a question?
I literally remember when we were doing the podcast and you were like, why are you always asking, can I ask a question? And then I went home, I spent like 10 days with my family, and there's so many of us, you have to be like, can I ask a question now? So I just realized that's why I do it. I never was
That's
aware.
Your way of getting in.
Yeah, that was, and I, and just, they're all, we're all just talking on top of each other that you have to be like, can I have a, can I ask a question? But I, so I heard my sister do it, and I was like, oh, anyway, my, have we, where are we? I'm lost.
Did we go I by? Just said we passed the exit for Newbridge.
Oh, for Newbridge, okay, because I'm used to going down the road that would pass
this Heathcliff. This is the M4, but that this is the M7, that's the M4.
Okay, I was thinking of the M4.
No, but we're not on the M4.
I know that now.
I literally began this thing by saying we're on the M7.
Yeah, but I didn't know which one was which. I never drove. I would just sit in the car and go along.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Katie, you're coming along for the ride here. this is the M7 to Cork. It splits off to the M8 after Port Laois.
Okay.
Just before Durrow, County Laois. And many moons ago, you had to go through Durrow, but I won't bore the listeners with all that shit. But, I mean, I've spent a lot of time on these Irish roads making money in Ireland. And we're back on them again on our way to Cork to do Cypress Avenue. And in celebration of being back in Ireland... I thought we would try to rack our brains for just like distinctly Irish sexual experiences, dating experiences, you know, just like early days of the shift type of stuff. I mean, I have a few in my head, and you can rack your brains now in the meantime, Katie. Because in actual fact, we didn't really discuss. I kept meaning to discuss what we were going to discuss with you, but things kept distracting us, like me looking for microphones and, you know, just prepping to get in the car.
Yeah.
So actually, the one thing we haven't prepped is this episode.
No.
But I feel like of all the things, this is really just a celebration of Irishness in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You can speak.
Okay. Well, you said Irishness in the bedroom and my head just trailed off the fact that I just was, when you were just talking about being home, and I was just thinking about the great soup I had earlier. So I kind of got distracted for a second. But Irishness in the bedroom, Jay.
Yeah,
okay.
Try to keep your head out of the soup.
I know.
We're doing
my boner.
We're doing a sex and dating podcast here. I know I was getting horny for the motorway.
I'm getting horny for the soup.
But we're trying to move into the actual subject that we're talking about.
God.
Now, how do you feel about that topic?
That's fine. It's been a long... I'll have to rack my brain. It's been a long time for me since...
What, you haven't... So any of your trips back, you've never been with anybody?
I was kissing a friend, yeah.
Just make it up, Katie. Fucking make it up.
And then I had this wild time in this bathroom.
Just fucking make it up.
I didn't have any... No, I didn't... Anytime I've been back, I haven't had like any one-night stands or whatever. The thing is, when I come back, my time with my friends is so precious that I actually don't like being distracted. There's one guy who, when I would come back all the time, we would always kiss and stuff, but never. He has a girlfriend now, so fuck him, don't have him to kiss now this time around. But yeah, I usually come back every time and kiss the same guy.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so
well, I'll just throw one out.
Yeah,
to
great.
Get this party going.
Thanks.
We won't discuss the limitations of Katie's sexual experiences in Ireland. One thing I always remember from the early days, now I'm sure it's changed because heating systems are a lot better, and I did do a routine about this, but it was based on reality, was that I always felt that Irish women were freezing a lot. Like when we'd come back to my place or their place, it was always a big thing that when, as they got more naked, that they had to be like under the covers. Now I know we can analyze this, but there was always this sense that they were quite cold.
I find Ireland very cold.
Yes.
Even since I've come back, I can't get warm. I'm like running around closing the doors in the house, and even in bed. I went to bed last 2 nights and I had a hot water bottle and my dressing gown on. I definitely would have remembered being like under the duvet, under the sheets, keep it up there.
Yes, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's definitely a thing. I mean, that is definitely like an Irish memory for me. And I'm the same as you. When I come back, I'm always shocked at how fucking cold the house is. And, like, you have to crank the heat up. But, like, it has to be up for ages for the house to get warm. And that's, you know, that's an engineering thing. Irish houses definitely weren't built as well with the insulation.
There's something wrong with our walls. And if you leave a door open, the room's freezing in a second.
Drafty,
and then,
yeah.
And then I guess Irish parents, they only want to put heating on in one room.
Yeah, so that and that tied into a lot of my early routines were about the Irish obsession with heating and all that.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that, actually, let's call a spade. People always talk about, like, you know, maybe Ireland's not as sexy. It's because the fucking, most places are not fucking warm enough, especially in the winter. They're not fucking, because the heating is so expensive here. You can't leave it, like, in America, the heating's on all fucking day. Like, all the American places are, you know, Andrew Schultz has these great routines about how hot apartments get.
Yeah.
But when you're fucking getting naked, that's better. Like, my apartment in New York is so hot, I'll walk around naked just because I have no choice, because I literally can't have a layer on, because, you know, and it's just moisturization and nakedness is an American apartment.
Yeah, I probably thought that I was, like, more confident when I went to America, like, to take my clothes off, like, sexily in front of a guy. But now that you're saying it, I was probably just warm.
You're just warmer.
Yeah.
This car has a feature on it, which is it protects against you veering across. So because I changed lanes there without indicating, it didn't turn off that sensor. So it was actually trying to. Did you notice that?
I know. I physically felt the car.
The car was trying to throw me back onto that lane. So all the early memories of my, because I lost my virginity when I was 14, but then I didn't have sex again until I was 18.
Yeah.
The second time I had sex, which I think I mentioned on the podcast before, was the night that Kurt Cobain died. But it was at the Irish National Youth Parliament, which was in Kilkenny College. So I have no recollection of how much heat there was in Kilkenny College that night. But you know, after, particularly when I was in college in UCC, I just remember a lot of, like, cold, like having sex where, like, the duvet would start to sort of slip off you because you're getting into the groove, and then you'd have to, like, pull the fucking duvet back on. Or if she was like on top, she'd be like a fucking hunger striker, you know, she'd be like a dirty blanket protest, you know that that shot of fucking Bobby Sands with the blanket over him. So she'd be fucking on top of me with the blanket over. It's like fucking
that's so true.
I felt like smearing shit on the walls. I mean, maybe that's too much provisional IRA imagery for anybody, but I reckon that's a good routine. I'm gonna try that tonight on the show. But yeah, it was very much like, oh, fucking, you have to keep the duvet, like, you can't be on top of the guy without the fucking duvet on top of you, you know.
Literally as you're saying that, I remember with my ex-boyfriend, anytime getting on top, pulling the sheet over and the covers over. So that's so true. Actually, my first time I had sex, we were in the bed, and I just remember him being on top with the sheets right over us. So
him being on top with the sheet over both of you,
over both of us. Yeah,
yeah. Over his head though?
No, like, just up to our shoulders. But yeah, now that you're saying that, that was in, like, my childhood bed. Oh god, I was such a kid.
Yeah, I lost my virginity in my childhood bed. So I have some further theories on this, right?
Yeah.
Now, when I did these routines, I actually, funny you should mention a hot water bottle, because I highly recommend anyone listening to go back, and it's on YouTube, my routine about Irish women are always cold. But in the routine, I made a joke about the girl, like, trying to get in the mood. She's like, have you got a hot water bottle? And then, you know, you have to move it. I was doing, like, a Barry White voice, you know. It's like, have you got how? I was like, yeah, you know, I turn on the kettle and I fill up the hot water bottle, you know. And then I did the sound of, you know, the hot water bottles always had those ribs on them, so yeah. It was like, and then I slowly move it around the bed, you know, because you can't just put it in one spot, you have to move it around, so then you can get into, oh, the bed, the hot water bottle makes the bed so warm. But I do have a feeling that there's two things going on, and this can scientifically be total bullshit.
Okay.
But before shows, before I have gigs, particularly big gigs, particularly in the winter, I get very cold.
Yeah.
I can feel it in my body. And somebody had once told me, and I keep forgetting to look this up, that your body, with the nerves, you know, that's fight or flight, you know, that's adrenaline, your body begins to conserve energy for the potential challenge ahead. You know, that's like, that's your body's preparing for fight or flight, right? And so your body temperature drops because, you know, because you're nervous. And I started to wonder, particularly because when I was young, you know, when I was 19, 20, 21, 22. Now, honestly, a lot of the time I was with one girlfriend, but, you know, just before that and after that, I had a few experiences with Irish women. And I wonder, because they're more, perhaps, particularly at that time, that generation, quite nervous about the fact that they're having sex, like a big deal, a lot of shame, that some of that coldness and that sense of I'm really cold. Because like the minute they would get naked, they would get cold. I know obviously they're colder because they have no clothes on, but it was more coldness than you would expect.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes, was there a bit of that?
Like the fight, the flight.
That their body, you know, it was nerves.
Yeah.
And that the nerve, that you get cold when you're nervous.
Yeah.
Now, I could be completely wrong, and I really wish we had a doctor to discuss that. But sometimes I wonder, is that the case?
Yeah.
That's one theory.
Okay. Do you have another theory?
Do you think that in those early days that you used to get a bit nervous?
Oh, yeah. I had to drink a lot. Like, I've had more, even though, like, I come across quite innocent or whatever, I have had a fair amount of sexual experiences in Ireland. But after I broke up with my boyfriend, a lot of them were drink related, so there's not a huge memory with them. So I can't really talk about them. And I wouldn't recommend for anyone, but I'd been in a really long relationship and I was like, I wanna go out and like have fun, and I would actually feel safer doing that in Ireland for some weird reason, but I would just drank too much to kinda get over that and try to be sexy and confident. But then actually once I moved to America, I was like, actually, yeah, it's not. Drink is, I prefer having sex without drink.
Right. So yeah. So that theory could be total bullshit. But I do
agree with you. Like the nerves. My thing is, I don't remember being. But yeah, I think yeah, there'd be a lot of nerves the first. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe. But my further theory, which I definitely stand by this, and Irish women can attack me on this if they want.
Okay.
Irish women, in my experience, I've never been as comfortable being naked as other cultures that I have been with.
Mm-hmm.
I find that there's that straight away in the nakedness, there wasn't a sense of wanting to be seen that much.
Well, just to even like agree with your point in a way, and I don't know, things might have changed, but I never had my Irish girlfriends completely undressed in front of me the way I have my American girlfriends. Like, you'd just go over and their clothes would be off, or they'd be sending you naked photos of themselves, like, how's this? Which I haven't actually had with my Irish friends. There's a bit more of modesty there. A
bit more modesty with the Irish women.
Oh, 100%. Like,
yeah,
whereas
not as comfortable.
My American friends, like, you know, they'd be going in to get changed, they'd be like, come on into the room, and then they'd be talking for a while, like, they're completely naked and they don't really care, or they'd send a nude photo of themselves being like, do you think that it looked good to send to himself? And it's a little, but then, so I don't know if maybe things have changed since I've been gone, but I never had that with my Irish girlfriends. You wouldn't just be stripping in front of each other. You would go to the loo together, though. We always went to the loo together, but that was always with a few drinks in you, so it's different.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there wasn't as much comfortability with the nakedness, which is fair enough to a certain degree because it's always so fucking cold. It's just the same natural state of just being naked. But in a different routine, which actually I'm just remembering that I stopped doing, which I need to fucking start doing again, was in Ireland, you definitely, and I think this is maybe just a woman thing, but for me, it's like an Irish woman thing more, is this thing of like, so you can have like the dirtiest fucking sex, like filthy fucking, just like rawr, fucking like awesome sex, but then afterwards, if they're going to the bathroom, they'll like take the sheet or grab a towel and wrap it around them.
Yeah.
Like, they won't go to the bathroom, walk it, and it's like, what are you doing? And it's like, well, I don't want you to see me naked. Well, the joke I say in the show is, well, I've just been fucking going down up inside you like a fucking coal miner. Let me turn off my fucking, let me turn off my helmet light so you can fucking get some privacy. You know, so it's just funny how during sex and everything, it's obviously you're in the moment and you're not thinking about being seen. But this sense of somebody seeing you naked.
Yeah, but I've had guys do that. I've actually noticed that with a lot of sexual, I was going to say sexual partners, but I mean like a lot of guys that I've been with that have, after sex, like looked for a towel or looked,
oh, really?
Quickly put on their boxers. But I have dated a few insecure guys, but I remember being like, what are you doing? Like,
well, because they don't want to see them walking flaccidly to the toilet.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's because it's been notable enough that I've like been like, okay, this is a trend now. What is going on?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So really it's more of a human being thing of not wanting to be.
Yeah.
Just that sense of suddenly you feel like you're being watched.
Yeah, like I guess it's it was people that, let's say if I go over the guys, you know, one of them was Irish, one of them is from a kind of similar culture, and then the other one was an Irish American Catholic. So there's three guys.
The fucking Catholics.
I think even you were saying on the last episode, like talking about shame, but I think that is a little bit like a body shame or whatever. You're like insecure.
Yeah, insecure. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, the couple of American just normal. Yeah, not that they're not normal, but I'm. Yeah, it was a lot of lads. That yeah. You know, you were saying about the heat. I was just thinking this about the coldness here.
Yeah.
I heard that the couples who are colder, like who don't have the as good heating, cuddle at night, so they have like a better intimacy. So do you think maybe?
I don't know.
So do you think maybe Irish couples cozy up a bit more?
I don't.
Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe that's why we're so monogamous.
Where did you see?
Because we're cold.
Who says the Irish are so monogamous?
Oh, I don't know.
Wait, where'd you get that from?
Oops. I think we aren't majority monogamous, though, aren't we?
Well, I think most people accept that as the ideal. I didn't get a lot of feedback to the
monogamy.
Nah,
she was funny when she was talking. I was like, wow, like, and she was saying like she doesn't experience jealousy. Like I personally couldn't do it because, because with me, I don't even like when I'm out with my friends or whatever. Like the idea of going home with, like, let's say when I was in France, there was this really cute guy. Oh, and he was only 23. Look at me.
So what happened with this guy?
Oh, I just kissed him, but like I guess he was kind of like suggesting for me to come back. But in my head, I was like, I'd actually have more crack like with my cousins who I don't get to see. So I was just like, I just kissed him. I was like, I'll see you later, and I went back to the hotel room with my cousins. But like, so if I were to be, I don't think there'd be no point in me being in a non-monogamous relationship because I find more enjoyment out of having sex with a partner than going off. Like that's not a thrill for me. So I guess it really depends on each person.
Yeah, but that's just one scenario.
Yeah.
You know, because the truth of the matter is, you're not always going to be with your cousins.
True, yeah. you're
making an assumption that you're there's always going to be some alternative that's preferable to you.
Yeah,
there may be a time where the other alternative is hanging out with a bunch of people that you don't like, and you could go home with fucking Pierre, the 23-year-old, fucking get fucked and have a croissant.
And I love croissants. Yeah, he told me I look 23, and I was like, okay, you'll do.
Oh, did you tell him your age?
Yeah. And he was like, well, I'm nearly 24. And I was like,
oh my God, he's 23 and a half. That's hard to get horny. It's hard to get horny when he's like, I'm 23 and a half. I'm 23 and three quarters. Vincent. What is it? I don't speak.
I don't know, but honestly, so this is so interesting to me. The amount of French men who came up and approached me on the street, or like I was in the Louvre. I don't know how to pronounce that.
The Louvre.
And this French guy came up and approached me, and like it didn't feel creepy, but I think the accent is just so sexy to me that I was like, okay, like I just felt complimented.
So you made out with him?
I made out with the 23-year-old. Yeah.
And any just normal make out?
Yeah, that was it.
That you didn't feel anything specifically French? I mean, it is their way of kissing.
No, it was great. It was a good kiss. I enjoyed it. Went home.
What were you like, outside the bar or something?
Outside the bar, yeah.
Making out like a fucking teenager?
Yeah, it was
getting
great.
The shift. You were literally getting the shift.
I was literally getting the shift. His friends started wooing, and then one of them slapped him on theirs. And I was like, what am I doing? And it was fun. God, I had a great time in Paris. I never get to usually... I'm usually too tired to go out and party, but I definitely partied there.
You definitely partied there?
Yeah, two of the nights. Like, my cousin... One of them, like, she's just so much fun. It's kind of hard not to kind of follow her buzz. She can drink a lot, but, like, in a good way. Like, she's just good crack. So, like, after the shows, we went out both nights, and it was great. She's made friends with everybody. We had French guys buying us drinks left, right, and center.
That's great. That's selective equality.
That's great. I'm in it. Hey, I did some kissing, so he got some tongue in.
Oh,
he
paid for the drinks, the 23-year-old?
His boss did. My cousin, she forgot her credit card, and I was like, just don't worry about it. I've got cash on me. And she never asked me for a drink, and at one stage I was like, I know she's in like a serious relationship, so she wasn't being like flirty with these guys or anything. We just were hanging around with them, but the boss, she kept going to the boss, like, go on now, buy us all drinks. So he just kept buying us shots and buying us drinks. They were on a work party, and it's where the two of them were like best friends by the way she was going on. But she's great. Sure, they were happy to have like a bit of company as well. So
sure, fucking happy days. The Irish are the best at the crack.
Yeah, they were like they were all taking photos with us, and they were like they were happy to practice their English as well. Their English was great, but they were like talking to us like in English, trying to practice and stuff. So
yeah, that's not hot. He's not gonna have the right language if you went home with him anyway. So you're better off just having the crack with your cousins.
Yeah.
Here's a distinctly Irish thing, right? Which this is definitely something I've noticed about getting older, and you know, because I'm a single guy, I don't have to fucking apologize for this. But like, there have been times recently where I've clearly like connected with somebody, but it's obvious that you know we're out, you know we're all out, so I'm just gonna want to get her phone number or whatever, her Instagram, and meet up with her in the future. I'm not gonna fucking hang out all night waiting to see if we can take this party back somewhere else. But do you find that in this is not really an Irish thing, this is more just like, do you think that if you've connected with a guy and you might want to like, you know, do something else with him, do you think it's better to just stay with the herd and either make him wait or just not worry about it at all? Or if you really feel the connection, it's you should just go?
Oh,
I mean, so this is a toughie because sometimes you're not sure about safety and stuff like this. But let's just put it into the context of familiarity, or maybe even it's like the second or third time you've hung out and you have been thinking about sleeping with him. It just so happens to be you're in a social scenario, and you know he. I'm just basically trying to take the fear factor out of it.
Yeah.
Let's just put it into a safety hypothetical, a hypothetical of a safe scenario, you know. And did you ever sort of deliberately think, I'll make him wait?
If I've wanted something more from them, I've made them wait. But no, I've gone home with... I had a scenario like that before I left to New York, and I went home with him.
You had a scenario before you left New York?
To New York 5 years ago.
Oh, right, okay.
And I went home with him. He's like, but he's in the friend group, you know. So.
But did you make him wait?
No.
You just said, let's get out of here?
It was like 2 a.m. and the bars were done and I was
Oh,
like,
so you did make him wait.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant make him wait a couple of days.
No, like, no, sorry. I just, because basically, now that I'm older, I just, I'm not going to wait.
Oh, you understand. No, yeah, I'm like very much like if I'm out with my friends, like I hate missing out on the crack. So
yes,
I'll be like, I'd rather when that's, all, yeah, I'd rather go home with them later. But then that's.
But you want them to wait though, right?
Yeah. It's that bad? Or give me...
No, I'm just curious.
I'll hang out with you tomorrow.
I'm curious of the female mindset on that. But I'm not a good gauge because I don't drink, so I'm always fucking dying to get out of there.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, it's like, this night could get so much better if we just left and even just went to a diner. Like, I literally don't even need to be having the crack. It would just be so much more fun for me to go and fucking just go somewhere else.
But, yeah, I really think it... Because I'm trying to think even that person at the time would have been happy just having the crack with all our friends as well. So that worked out perfectly for us. But I'm trying to think if it was someone and they were like, let's go. Yeah, I guess it really depends on how you're vibing that night. Because sometimes I go out and I'm like, oh, I'm fucking fed up now. I'd rather leave. So.
Yes, okay, yeah. And do you think, when you talk to women, like, do you think that women always say, like, make them wait? Or I know it's usually not a conscious decision, but...
I find that sometimes when women go out, we go out with another woman and you never want to leave them
behind. Yeah, you don't want to leave the
herd.
There's
a lot of, like... Oh, you left, or, you know, we went together, so you kind of need to make sure.
Pack etiquette. Squad etiquette.
I find squad etiquette more in Ireland than I did in...
Oh, you do find squad etiquette. See, oh, so that's basically 100%. What I'm getting to. Because I think that there's more squad etiquette in Ireland.
Oh, 100%. Like, I never... As soon as I went to New York, it's everyone 5 year old. I could be out with the girls, and they could all be gone. And that'd be it. They'd just go home, or they'd go off with some guy, and it'd be grand. Like, there'd be no... It wouldn't be, but I think there's more like at here where you're like, okay, we better make sure, I can't think of an Irish name that nobody knows, but like Deirdre, we better make sure that Deirdre gets home first. I don't want to leave her.
We had
planned a night out and I should be really having the fun with her. I can't really ditch her. Whereas it's very, because as well, even in New York, people are doing their shit. They might not turn up until like 11 p.m. or.
Yeah.
There's no. Yeah.
I had that. I remember. I mean, I've had that so many times in my life, you know, but this is a long time ago. Like, I guess back when I first got well known here, I was in Killarney. Killarney is just fucking great. Like, I mean, I've had so many good fucking nights in Killarney in my life. But anyway, we were out, myself and my buddy. I remember there was a few of us down with me. I was doing the INEC, and I met this girl. We were out. I met this girl. We were getting on great. We were like, you know, fooling around, shifting on the dance floor. And it was, you know, it was on. It was nothing like, there was nothing sinister, you know?
Yeah.
And she fucking leaves with me. You know, she wants to come back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Her fucking friends ran after her and they were literally pulling her out of my car. Like pulling her out of my car. Like,
oh my God.
Don't get out of that car. Get out of that car. Sarah. I mean, I have no idea what her name is. Sarah, you're not going home with him. Get out of that car.
Yeah.
And she was just turning to me saying, never mind them. They're just jealous. They're just jealous. They don't want me going home with you. They'd prefer to be going home with you themselves. But they're, so, you know, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, they're doing it under the auspices of, don't be such a dirty, you can't go home, you know,
yeah,
protecting.
You'll regret it, sort of, yeah.
But, you know, who knows. But anyway, I've experienced a lot of the squad etiquette.
The only good thing I will, or sorry, the, not the only, but there is one good benefit to the squad etiquette is I actually feel, I probably get drunker when I come home to Ireland or when I'm with my Irish friends because I'm like, one of them will carry me home. Whereas I'm much more responsible in New York because nobody will, they'll just leave me to die on the street.
That's, yeah. Well, I have that joke too, you know.
Okay, really? Yeah.
Well, I have the joke about, you know, when I was younger, American girls wouldn't give out their number because they're worried about you turning out to be a serial killer.
Oh.
Whereas in Ireland, everyone gives out their number because you're not worried about that. In Ireland, you're more worried about finding out 6 weeks later you're related.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because everyone knows everybody. I think I've done that joke on the podcast. But anyway, there is definitely, I think there's more squad etiquette here. But there's, as we've talked about before, there is more of the word will get around vibe of, if they let you go back, then everybody will be like, did you hear that Sarah went back with Des Bishop? You know?
Yeah.
So there's also perhaps quote unquote so protecting funny. Against your reputation.
And it's so the opposite in New York City, because if you, let's say, like, being like a seller comedian, went off with one of my friends and let's say he's had sex, the girls wouldn't be like, oh, did you hear she went off with Des? They'd be like, oh, she got a seller comic. Well done. Yeah, high five. It's very different. That's so funny. I'm always torn between
but
the
I
two.
Don't know if that's true, by the way. Like, sorry, I don't know if one of the reasons is a concern about reputation.
Oh, yeah. And like it might be just more as well that sometimes, like I've had times where when I came out of my serious relationship where I tried to be more promiscuous and I really regretted it the next day and I felt sad and I kind of, because I had been drunk and I probably was just sad because it was coming off the alcohol, it probably had nothing to do with sex, and then so sometimes if your girls see that they're like, oh, we know she's going to regret it, and they're just trying to protect you. But
yes, which is fair enough and maybe true, you know.
Yeah, like
maybe true, you know. Then you know, it's so hard to know because the dynamics of that are so difficult, because it's like, on one level, you're okay with it, but then your friends make you feel bad. I mean, I often think if people thought that nobody else was going to know, their morals would be very different, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, you have to ask how much of your morality being tied into other people's judgment is good and how much of it is bad. Because, you know, I think some of that can be healthy,
yeah.
You know, a concern about other people's thoughts about it, and then some of it can be unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's hard to know what the...
I think as well, if anybody ever, like, what I learned as well is if anybody ever wakes up feeling shame the next day after maybe like a one night stand or something, it might actually just be feeling shit because you drank so much. Like, alcohol is a serious depressant. And like, I think if I went out and had sex now and I only had two drinks, I wouldn't feel guilty at all the next day. But I felt really guilty when I was younger and I had a few encounters, but it's probably just because I drank the whole bar dry and couldn't stop drinking bloody shots of Jaeger. Ugh, my God.
Hi, how you doing?
We are just stopped
Port Leash.
To pay
the toll on the M7.
€190. Thank you so much. She's probably like, what is that weirdo doing?
Thanks
into
a
the
lot.
So
you know, that was just a bit of admin there.
But yeah, so that's,
take it away, Katie. I'm distracted for a second. Take it away. Come
That's
on.
Okay. I was thinking about that, though. That the... Oh, you know what, as well? We're not going to talk about it now, but Des recommended me to read this book, and I read part of it. But one thing they say in it about how shame is just, like, usually once you say whatever you're shameful of out loud, it kind of takes the power away as well. So I just think once you're just like, yeah, I had sex with them, I don't care, then people are like, oh, okay. But when you're like, oh, I feel bad, then people are like, yeah, you should feel bad. Does that make sense?
It does. Actually, funnily enough, because I posted about shame and guilt on the Instagram.
Oh, did you?
And then a lot of people recommended I listen to this TED Talk.
Oh, yeah.
The name has gone out of my head, but I listened to them both about shame. and vulnerability, you know, and the fear of vulnerability. And we're definitely going to have to do an episode on that. I her name has just gone out of my head temporarily, but I did listen to them. And perhaps when we do the intro outro to this ep, at the end of the ep, I'll tell people to listen to it in case they don't know. I think a lot of people do know because I got a lot of messages. But if you haven't, they're very good.
It's not Esther Perel, no.
It's not Esther Perel, no.
No, I haven't.
It's somebody else.
Make sure that's still going. Yeah.
It's about shame.
Yeah, I think shame is really interesting because Kate brought it up, and then I was reading that book by Liz Plank, and she brings it up a lot, and people she spoke to brought it up a lot, and it seems to be just like the root of.
Oh yeah, it's driving so much. Essentially, it's the fucking stink hanging in the air of every episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
The smell of fucking shame hangs around all of us.
I still feel shame about certain stuff as well. So, but the older I get and the more that I just try to get over, like, especially with sexual shame or whatever, like, the masturbating when you first do it as a woman, I felt loads of shame. But then you just start to enjoy it and you're like, fuck it.
Exactly.
This is great.
I got to find my routine about Irish women fucking touching themselves. It's on Desfunctional. I actually contacted the guy yesterday to get the playouts of all my specials, but the masters are somewhere else. It's more complicated than I thought, but yeah. I have to get that routine because, you know, it seems like this is like a fresh topic that I've concerned about only recently doing the shift, but actually that was on Desfunctional. I mean, that's been on RTE because I remember at the time when it came out on RTE, I guess people were tweeting at me then. It was the days of me really worrying about Twitter. A lot of people are like, oh, totes aux, watching Des Bishop talk about masturbation, you know, with my mom or whatever. But yeah. I had a routine because at that time the routine was based around the fact that Irish women never admit that they masturbate, which I think we talked about a bit early on in the podcast. But I don't think we need to repeat that. But that was definitely another specifically Irish thing.
And it is funny as well. I always think about this too. I'm kind of links into that. But just let's say my uncle was saying that he by accidentally played a clip he played a clip of me. But obviously, like, I don't know, I guess I was talking about balls or masturbating or something. Or maybe, I think it was a clip from the podcast. And I guess my grandparents were there and he was like, oh, it was really uncomfortable. So I quickly turned it off. But isn't that so funny? That it's just like, talking about sex is so uncomfortable.
Talking about sex is very uncomfortable.
Like,
for
it's
a lot
very uncomfortable
people.
For him to hear, or him worrying about my grandparents here, and they wrote deaf, so they were like, "What?" So it was grand, but I was like, to him, "Oh, sure, it's grand. Like, I'm actually really glad about what we're talking about." And he was just like laughing away, but I was thinking, then it's so funny because it's like, yeah, they're so uncomfortable hearing someone they're related to talking about it.
Well, of course. I mean, it's guaranteed that your uncle is going to be uncomfortable listening. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I think some of that is understandable, and then some of that is. You're allowed to ask the question, why is it that sex makes us so uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah.
That'll drive a whole year of podcasts, really. Yeah. trying to figure out that. But you know, we've talked a fair bit about where that shame is coming from. I mean, we can get on. I really would like to get on like a shame expert. You know, someone that deals a lot with people, cuz this TED Talk, which I wish I could fucking remember it, she focused on shame, and she got into the feeling of, you know, people are afraid to be vulnerable, but because they're afraid of, you know, whatever they're afraid of, you know, afraid of being hurt, afraid of people finding out who they really are. You know, that's a big drive for a lot of people's, you know, I don't want to be found out for the thing that I think that I am, you know?
Yeah.
And she talks about, you know, how much shame drives that fear. So I can't even. What was the point that I was making there? I can't remember. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. I give myself a break because we are about to turn off onto the M8.
Cork.
And I was also trying to navigate the road while thinking about what the hell her name is, and I forgot why I brought up that particular thing. But But anyway, I'd like to get a shame expert on. Oh, now I know what I was saying.
Okay.
She interviewed. Her original, because she's a researcher, her original bit of research was to look at shame and the origins of shame. So she just talked to a lot of people about shame, and a lot of it was sexual abuse, physical abuse, you know, behavior, drug addiction, all these things that were driving people shame. And So I would love to talk to a shame expert on the podcast to talk about, you know, various bits of the origins of shame, what's better nowadays, what's worse nowadays, and, you know, just healthy ways for you to tackle your own shame, really, you know, or to certainly get liberation from it driving you, you know?
Yeah. That's great. That would be amazing.
Yeah, but we need to, you know, I got to remember the name of this bloody podcast, and then we can talk about it a bit more. But I don't want to get too heavy on this ep.
I
wanted to keep it light, you know?
Let's keep it light. Irish sexual...
Well, you know, just I was thinking of just distinctly funny ones. I mean, I definitely...
Oh, you know what?
What?
Okay, so I guess... Well, I don't know if this is just Irish, but like when you have like, you know, I'm taking my second boyfriend. I was like 18 and I still have a scar from when I was like, we snuck out in the back garden and I was trying to give him... a hand job, but I fell. Is that what we call it? Like wanking, or I guess whatever.
A hand job.
A hand job. Okay.
Wank him off.
And I fell.
Give him a fucking tug.
I was, you know, in the back gardens. This is definitely only Irish back gardens, actually. And they have like that square drain part. I don't know what it is, but I was standing on that, and he was above, and it went below me, and I fell into the. Beneath the ground, and on the way down ripped my leg, and I still have a wanking scar from it.
You have a scar from trying to give a guy a fucking hand job?
Like on the sly in the back garden. Because you don't have anywhere to go, you don't live anywhere, so you're trying to do it wherever you can.
Hey, Katie, let's...
Well, I guess that would definitely make my grandparents very uncomfortable to hear that.
that scar is due to fucking wanking somebody off?
But it was a boyfriend, so you know... I don't know why that's like that makes it better. It's all right.
So, sorry. What was the? How did you end up falling in the hole? What was the hole again?
What are those drains in the back of the garden? You know they have them, and it's like a metal grate. Oh, I don't know. I can't think of the word for it. But it was always in all of our back gardens in Neeslope.
So just a little drain.
Yeah, it was like a... Yeah, I guess so. And I just went through it. That was it.
Oh, the drain gave out on you?
It gave out underneath me, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he was standing there. I was, like, gone, holding on to his penis.
That's the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the Lord. So you're holding on to his penis like fucking... Like Indiana Jones, like... Holding on.
No, but sure, by the time I went down, I was, like, facing his penis. So if it was the Lord, he was going, come on now, up your game.
Yeah. Enough with the hand jobs now. I can get... Wow, that's so funny. How old were you then?
18, yeah.
So what'd
18.
You do then after?
We just laughed our heads off. Like so I was.
You didn't
again,
get them off? What do you have to do? Get fucking hydrogen peroxide to rub on your wound?
Yeah, we had to go inside and I'd ripped my jeans and everybody was laughing
at us. Jesus, and you still hadn't blown your load.
No.
This car is so weird the way you have to indicate. I mean, that's fair enough. I should be indicating, but it literally throws you back into the lane. Because it's a rental, by the way.
Yeah.
For those that are wondering. It's not my car. It's a rental car.
It's nice being back in Ireland. This is going to sound so silly what I'm about to say, and it's not about dating or whatever, but just being in the loos, because we have windows in the loos, all of the toilets, and in Paris they're all most of them are underground. They've no windows, and I got trapped in one mid-show.
Right.
So it just when I was back in Ireland, I was really appreciative of all the places here have windows in the loos, and it just made me really happy to be home.
Wow, it's definitely Anxiety Tuesday.
I know. It was awful. I was trapped in there. It was mid-show, so I couldn't like scream, and it was like in a basement, and I like...
Oh my God.
The handle came off. I started to have like a panic attack. Also, as well, this is sharing too much information, but like I'm definitely allergic to some sort of cream or dairy or something. I am now. I know this because I had risotto and I was like really sick, and but not from my mouth.
And you had diarrhea.
Yeah, and I got stuck in the loo. So
stuck with your own diarrhea.
There was no fucking signal, so I couldn't text anybody, because obviously I would text the girls to try and get me out. But then I was afraid to actually have someone come save me because it smelled bad. But then I was like, am I going to die here in my own smell in a loo in the basement in France? But eventually I just knocked on the door and kept saying help, and then a guy came in and he was like, I'll come help you. But then I got so panicked about them coming in and smelling it that I ripped the handle off the wall, pulled out the thing that was broken, put the handle back on, got myself out, and got out in time.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was smell saved. So there you go.
Dairy
intolerance is a thing. Right. Dez was messing with me earlier about my soy milk.
I wasn't, actually. I have no problem. I'm partial to an old oat milk latte myself.
You are, in fairness to you. You always have oat milk.
But I've had a few normal Irish lattes. I'll tell you something now, lad. The milk is fucking better here. That's a fact. I mean, the minute I had that fucking shit in my mouth, it was like having dessert.
That's so the thing. Smooth. I do think the milk is different here.
Well, the milk is better here. Come on.
But that was France milk and cream. So.
And you got sick.
Oh, yeah. But the risotto was well worth it. And then my cousin was like, because she was like, I heard you knocking from the show, but I was trying to be quiet. Like, but.
Why didn't she open the door?
She didn't know it was me. She just thought it was like a random knock on the pipe or something. And then I told her when I came out, and she was like, so wait, you ate that big meal and then you shit it all out? And I said, yeah. And I go, it's awful, isn't it? And she goes, no, that's brilliant. You're so lucky. Oh, I wish that. I'd be so skinny. I was like, you are fucking skinny. But also, no. Nobody wants that.
Oh, that's great that you survived, Katie.
I did. Now,
you want me to... How much time is on the clock there?
44 minutes.
44 minutes.
Do you have any other funny Irish...
Well, I'm going to tell you what I would consider, in terms of all the different factors, what I would consider one of my most deeply Irish sexual experiences. I'm not going to give a time on it, because I don't want anyone to try to figure out who it is.
Okay.
But I once... licked out the Rose of Tralee in an alleyway in Cork.
Oh my god. That's amazing. Good for you. Good not for her.
Long I'm you'd be trying to narrow it down from fucking about 26 fucking Roses of Tralee. That made me lick Mary, the Rose of Tralee.
In an alleyway. How did you, was well, she actually, wearing a skirt?
I'll tell you exactly where it was. It was the alleyway between the old church and the Peace Park, off between the Grand Parade and South Main Street. So okay. For people that know Cork, it's that park, which I think they call the Peace Park. Bishop Lucy Park, I think, is the official name. Bishop fucking loose that day. it was down that, it was late at night, obviously nobody around. There's a cut through there. Next to the park and next to that old church, which is actually now part of the Triskell Arts Centre, but wasn't at the time. And we met somewhere, can't remember where, and we were just having a little shift down the side alley, and she wasn't coming back and I wasn't going to her place, but it did escalate into a side alley lick out. Not that licking out, you know.
Well, she obviously didn't care about
the
cold.
I went down on her. Well, it could have been the summer now.
Oh.
This is why
skirts are great.
Well, this was definitely a skirt situation. And it was a sexy situation. And, you know, I'm not putting a time on it, but in terms of the fact that it was the Rose of Tralee, it was in Cork, and it was a dirty side alley, I put that down as my most Irish sexual experience ever.
Okay. Oh, so the most Irish sexual experience. Wow.
Well, I mean, it's more just the Rose of Tralee part, really. When you add that into it, then it's just like, I went down on one of the lovely girls.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's great.
Have you ever had a guy go down on you outside?
Yeah, in the woods.
Oh, in the woods?
Yeah, I've also had sex in the woods. I think everybody who... grew up in Leaslip has done something sexual in the woods.
Yes. I'm a fan of sex outside, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's great.
That's just, you know...
It's exciting, you know?
Yeah, it's also like when you're living at home, you're like, next best place, the woods.
Yeah. I had sex in the Hill of Tara.
Oh!
Before the M3, you know?
Yeah.
Before the fucking M3 came and took our Celtic heritage and dug it up so we could get to Navan quicker. I had sex in the Hill of Tara. Before nightfall, too, but the tourists were far enough away that we snuck one in.
Wow.
We snuck one in.
Oh, I've had sex at the back of a car in Erin Road, Erin train station. I feel like that's very
Which
Irish.
Which one?
Leaslip.
In Leaslip station?
Yeah.
Nice.
Down, so anyone who knows, it's Comfy, not Louisa Bridge, but down by Comfy, there's literally a part that you can drive down that's right beside, but it's definitely for fucking, because like, why else? There's just this part you just drive down and there's no end to it, so everybody goes there in their car, has a bit of sex with their, you know, That was with the same boyfriend who I got the scar from.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. He was nice, lad. I'm
trying to think of all the good outside places I've had sex. I had sex in the ocean in the near Paraty in Brazil.
Wow.
But we were in the ocean while people were on the beach. You know, we were in the ocean while people were on the beach. But obviously, we were far enough out. And it just looked like, you know, we were just trying to give it the old, you know, hugging, you know.
Yeah.
Because you can't see what's going on underneath.
I've never had ocean sex.
It's not great because the water, it's not, you know, it wasn't ideal. We didn't stay at it too long. It gets quite, the friction builds up pretty fast because the water fucks up the secretion.
I don't feel comfortable being in the ocean, never mind having sex. Like, I like just going up to my knees, and I love looking in. I would love to live by the ocean, but I don't actually like being in the ocean.
Oh,
yeah. So.
Well, I've had sex. I mean, I've had sex on the beach numerous times, various different beaches. It is always fun. But I'm still of the opinion that you're better off doing it sort of like a standing up.
Yeah.
Behind her situation is the preferable beach scenario.
Yeah.
But I can name numerous beaches around the world where I've had sex. We're trying to think of good Irish outside places. I mean, I there's been various country roads in Ireland where I've snuck. I remember having sex once in the back of my Lexus in the car park of like just out in the Swords, like Swords Industrial Business Park. It was just in one of those car parks there at like 7 p.m. What were you going to say?
I didn't have sex, but I did do stuff with my boyfriend in Oxygen.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like, I just feel like, well, I remember even being like, I think I gave him a hand job, and I remember being like, I'm not blowing you. You've been 3 days out in the wild.
Oh, right. The dirtiness of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had sex in the trees at the Electric Picnic.
Oh.
100% had sex in the trees at the Electric Picnic. Oh, yeah. That was great.
Oh, I've never been to the Electric Picnic. Oxygen was killed like 2 years or 3 years after I went.
Yes. Yeah. The Oxygen was, well, it got a bit young and a bit wild. Yeah. Oxygen. Yeah, so I've had sex, definitely had sex at the Electric Picnic. I'm trying to think of other great, I can't think of any other great Irish outside spots.
I've said it on the podcast before, but I did have sex with my first boyfriend in Abracadabra bathroom. So.
Abracababra.
Abracababra. I feel
and every
like
time you tell that, I correct you.
I'm sorry.
You've told it now at least three times. I've corrected you on the abracababra pronunciation.
Abracababra.
Yeah.
It makes me want, even though I don't think they sell kebabs, it makes me want a kebab when I say it.
I had sex in the bathroom of the Royal Victoria and Albert Museum.
Oh,
in London.
In London.
Yeah. Handicapped toilet, though. I felt guilty.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
Was that guilt or shame? That was guilt.
Guilt.
That was guilt.
Yeah. I can't even wee in a handicapped toilet.
Yeah. I've had a few. I've definitely in the car. I've been in numerous locations around Ireland. I can't think of any other good ones off the top of my head. Nothing better than the fucking laneway in Cork and the fucking Rolls of Tralee. I don't know, like.
Yeah.
You know, since we're heading down to Cork, great celebration. No. Yeah.
I love Cork.
You can't think of any other distinctly Irish.
See, I was lucky enough because I moved out when I was 18 and I had
not outside any other distinctly Irish.
Okay, let's see. Sexual, distinctly Irish.
Distinctly Irish moment. Oh, I'll tell you what. Of my generation, you want to know? This is like a my generation thing. Taking off a fucking pair of Doc Martens can really ruin the flow of a fucking sexual experience.
That's our generation now as well, because they're back. I'm literally wearing a type of Doc Martens right now.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. They're like a fucking hiking boot.
They're cool.
Katie, you look like you're an organic farmer.
They're cool. Going to rock them at Cypress Ave tonight. €60. Delighted.
Yeah, taking off a pair of Doc Martens would really fucking ruin the flow. But then I also remember in the Sir Henry's days, the big long fucking, the big long boots. They were fucking, actually, the big long boots sometimes, you'd get quite busy before the boots would come off. And actually, they could be quite sore, you know?
But skinny jeans, like, I know now even.
Oh,
like,
yeah, skinny jeans can be a fucking
Jesus,
pain.
Jesus, trying to peel them off your legs. And then there's that big mark, because skinny jeans are not made for Irish legs. None of us have scrawny legs, and they're made for some of these stores, especially in America. They're all made for scrawny legs. I'm peeling them off me. I have a big line up the middle of my leg. But anyway, yeah, it takes a while. And then the guy is trying to shove them off you as well.
Yeah, it's very hard. But I always think that people get too worried about the lack of fluidity and the lack of grace. When it's like, listen, the clothes have to come off.
You know,
there's no way. I think people should like, because I think sometimes people think it's sexier if he's taking off your clothes and you're taking off his. Whereas I just think sometimes like you get to a certain stage, like let's just get the clothes off.
Let's get
them off because this isn't gonna flow well.
I love when, you know, something happens that you can kind of laugh. And then, like, instead of being embarrassed, if you just laugh about it, then it, like, makes it easier. Because it's always going to be a bit...
Yeah, because there's always one leg of the fucking skinny jeans that won't come off. And then you're sort of standing on the... You know, you're trying to lift up the leg. And it's awkward.
Do you know what I think is mainly... Okay, now, I love Irish lads. So don't take this as an offense. Because I do miss yous when I'm in America. But I never... No American man has kept their socks on during sex, but I always just thought guys always wore their socks in bed, but I've had a lot of Irish guys before I move over would just leave their socks on. They wouldn't encourage them to take it off.
Really?
Yeah. But that might have been just the ones who had sex with me. I don't know.
Well, it's because the room is so fucking cold, you know? Because
their feet are sticking out. That's it.
That's definitely an experience you have more in Ireland than in America, and that's down to the heat too, is that feeling of a sexy moment ruined by the fucking icicle feet hitting your fucking leg. You know, like a part of their foot hitting a part of your body. You're like, fuck! Your hands are so cold. That's one thing I miss, man, being fucking young. You know, when you used to be like fooling around outside a club, is like the fucking, like the icicle hands on your skin, you know? And it's not sexy, but I'm nostalgic for that. You know, that sense of, oh my God, your hands are fucking freezing. Get your fucking hands up, they're fucking freezing. I miss that, you know?
Yeah.
I miss the simplicity of youth sometimes.
Yeah, I really liked kissing your man outside the bar, didn't I? I felt like really young again because I'm 29 next week, so I'm probably having a bit of a crisis. So that's why I was like, 23, come here, baby.
That's so great.
Yeah.
But he knew what he was doing, right? He wasn't like a big tongue fucking eat your
face. No, great kisser. Absolutely. Yeah, it was perfect. It was good. It was all like, voulez-vous de mouth? Or I don't know, I can't speak French.
Oh,
je m'appelle David.
You have a sex podcast. You are so open.
Yeah.
I thought the Irish girls were so full of shame, but you have been the liberation. You have had the liberation.
Ooh, you have hairy legs.
Oh, but your vagina is not completely shaved. Oh, I like it's a retro vagina.
You retro.
I like your retro vagina. It's better for the STDs. Did you know this? did you know
if he had had sex with me as a 22-year-old, it probably would have been the first pubes on a woman he would have ever seen.
Did you know that this is better for the STD? I like you. You are so up on your sexual health, Katie.
Oh. I know, it's very sexy.
You are so aware of...
My herpes joke didn't do well in France. That was my only joke that didn't do well. And I was like...
What is your herpes joke? It's not going to do well here either.
I know.
What is it?
Just about having a... dating someone who lied to me about STD medication. But I think
maybe Americans are much more open about this. In France, we like to pretend that none of these things exist.
Yeah, I don't think they were kind of like looking at me like, what?
In France, we pretend that we did not collaborate with the Nazis and we do not like to admit that sex might give you an STD.
I'm going to make it work. I'm going to do it tonight and it's going to work.
Well, if it doesn't work, you're not getting on tomorrow. How about that?
No, Jess. You told me to take risks.
Yeah, just not with fucking STDs.
I need to set it up.
Literally and on stage.
I know, right? You know what, though? I want to write a joke
KT,
about.
KT, we have STDs in France. I know, right? I would like to have unprotected sex with your hairy vagina, please. Please.
People don't want to hear. You know, sometimes they're just like, oh, it's raining, guys. I don't know if you can hear that. But they don't want to hear about it, you know? So let's say, like, I was thinking, okay. RTE Lifestyle put up that question, do you ask if your partner have STD check before you have sex with them?
Oh, very good question.
And I feel
we never ask in France because we do not have the STD.
Au revoir, French Des.
So sorry.
But I think I don't know if people agree with me, but I know me and my friends when we were younger, like if we did ask, or if like you're on the pill or whatever, you'd be like, okay, have you had an STD check? And they're like, or even my American girlfriends, actually. And they say, yeah. You're like, okay, grand. Like, you wouldn't ask for, like, the proof or...
Yeah, yeah. You just...
You just believe. But it's so funny because you don't believe in other scenarios. I don't know how to make it into a joke, but I think that's an interesting that we believe that and we'll take that risk. But they could just be lying. They probably are lying.
Yeah, they're just lying. Most of the time, they're just lying. I just had a great idea, Katie.
What?
Because... you are so concerned about your sexual health, which yeah. I think is so sexy.
I think we should lead a campaign in Ireland for people to go and get an STD screening and then post their results on Instagram. Now, obviously, if you have an STD, I would recommend not posting your results because that's personal.
Too.
No, but it's not to pretend that people don't have STDs. It's to promote the healthiness of going.
Yeah.
Because I think most people are afraid to go because they don't want to find out that they have an STD. Because in France, we do not have this problem. We do not have that.
And most of you don't. Like, the first time I went for an STD check was in America. And I mean, I started, like, you had to wait 3 hours because I went for a free check. I didn't have health insurance at the time. And I was like freaking out, and then it was grand afterwards, and I felt much better. And then I've been for loads since, and it's just a peace of mind as well. Like,
yeah. So I think, so like, I think we'll, maybe we'll promote this on Instagram, and maybe we'll talk to a couple of other podcasts that people should get an STD screening and then post a picture on Instagram under the hashtag get yourself checked.
I think get yourself checked.
Yeah, it's very healthy.
Such a great idea, because even if, look, if it comes back that you fucking have chlamydia, like, oh, you take a few pills,
take a
you're
pill,
grand.
Boom.
Because it'll actually be way worse if you leave it. You'll get sick, and then
you can affect your fertility.
Yeah, and then if it comes back like that, you have long term disease. Like, God, you know, then you learn how to deal with it quicklier, and you learn how to
quicklier. Yeah,
quicklier.
You can learn how to deal with it quicklier.
Okay, well, I represent the dyslexic listeners of the podcast. Okay, so that's why he has me on, because I have a learning difficulty. Oh, so, my God. Ever since you said it, I'm like reading words backwards and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, I do. I am dyslexic.
I hope you have HPV and not HIV.
It is HPV. Yeah, come on, HPV ladies. I even found out that, because I don't have the one that gives me cancer or whatever. I just have the normal one that everybody has. But like, I can get vaccinated now. I haven't done it. I will when I get back. But
oh, you can get vaccinated?
You still can get it. It's just going to cost you a bunch of money, but you can get vaccinated. There's this thing going around that you can only get vaccinated when you're younger. No, you can't. You can get vaccinated. This is what my gynecologist said. You can get vaccinated whenever. Just need to do it. And she was like to me, oh.
Well, because originally it was said that you should be vaccinated before you're sexually active.
Yeah, it's fine. Because she was like, yeah, it's a pity you have that. Like, you still have a strain of it, but
you can be vaccinated against the other strains.
A million or something. I don't know. There's a lot of different strains. So get on it.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do an episode. We won't start this campaign yet, but we're going to, I think we should do a Get Yourself Checked campaign.
I think it's a great
idea. And that'll
be
very healthy for people to just be like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just going to get myself checked. Post it up on Instagram or Twitter, hashtag get yourself checked.
And just remember, by you posting that, you know, you're supporting, like, even let's say when I started doing the podcast, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, I can't believe I'm going to be saying this stuff out loud. But once you say it, then I'm like, oh, it's not as bad. So, like, once you do it, it's not as bad. And then you're like, now I feel comfortable talking to my sisters about sexual health. So, like, if you guys post up, you never know, you might have a little sister or a cousin who's going to be inspired to be like, oh, I should, you know, get myself checked. Or actually, there's things I should think about. That's because you're still at risk. You just,
yeah. I mean, I'm definitely. We should do. Actually, while you're in Ireland, I'm gonna talk to a doctor that I know that specializes in sexual health and have her on the pod. Because I've had a number of listeners who messaged about the amount of guys that put them under pressure to have unprotected sex,
mm-hmm.
and that a lot of them have had STDs, you know, mostly chlamydia. But but you know, so I think there's an unhealthy attitude out there, you know. I know you're distracted because you're looking at yourself in the mirror.
No, as you said, that my chest flared up. I just could feel it, so I just want to check it.
You got a hot flush? What are you having, fucking menopause already?
I know. I've been ever since I traveled. I've been getting like hot flashes or whatever. Hot flushes. Yeah.
Flushes or flashes?
Flashes. I don't fucking know. And my neck's been breaking out with spots. I don't know what's going on. It's probably just all the traveling or something. But just as you were talking there, I felt it for a second, so I just wanted to look. I got distracted. Sorry. I was looking at myself.
Just joking around.
But what did you say before that? You said something. I was going to answer back to it.
I said, Katie, please, let me have unprotected sex. We do
and
not
get some frog legs.
I was just saying that we'll have somebody on to talk about STDs.
That'd be great.
And because I was saying that I had some listeners messaging saying, can you talk about you know, guys putting you under pressure to have unprotected sex? So
that's what I had something to say to.
Okay.
Because it's so true. Like, my whole sexual experience has been guys trying not to, or I can't get it hard when I have the condom on. Can't get it hard. And then that's been, sorry, Irish lads, but that's been my experience has been mostly with Irish, like, any American lad I've had sex with has brought the condoms and it hasn't been an issue. But
yes,
it's been Irish. I don't feel
yes, my, there's my, too okay. much of a non-condom culture here. So let's.
Yeah.
We're gonna do. I'm gonna get this doctor that I had her on, Des Bishop. This is Ireland.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have her on to do an episode about STD health, the simplicity of going for a screening, get some stats and some figures, and we're gonna promote this Get Yourself Checked campaign.
Yeah.
See if we can get some people behind it, you know, because at the end of the day, we can't pretend we're not having sex.
Yeah.
We're having sex, and we're going to be doing it healthier because the STD rates have, you know, they really have skyrocketed.
Yeah, they have.
They have, you know. So listen, it's all well and good to say you should be able to be free to have sex without shame, but that doesn't mean that you're free to have sex without being safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You wouldn't fucking jump out of a plane without a parachute. You take fucking risks for the things that are fun.
And as well,
but
it's
you
not,
gotta mitigate the risk.
Yeah, and it's not just about you. Like, if someone gives it to you, and then you pass it on to someone else. So that's not fair. And they pass it on to Mary, and then Mary passes on to Joe, and then Joe passes it on to Seamus,
Sinead, and Seamus, and Dervla, and Siobhan.
Yeah.
And Fintan.
And then yeah.
Finbar. And you know Donacha. And, you know, Donacha doesn't want an STD.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, a long, long STDs.
Oh, my God.
Satir. Can a long, long STDs, satir.
Can you hear the rain in the podcast?
I don't know if they can hear the rain.
Oh.
Oh, can I hear the rain on the,
the
headphones?
Yeah.
There it is, guys.
I love the rain. Everybody's always like, I hate the rain.
Bouncing off my window.
It.
Oh,
ooh,
wow. It's fucking
really
coming
bad.
Down, man.
Wow.
We better get off. It's another rainy day in Ireland with the STDs on the rise. And the children go into the clinic and the tears are in their eyes. But it's only chlamydia. Just take a simple pill and wear a simple condom the next time you get your trill.
Yay.
Oh, the STDs in Ireland are on the rise. The STDs in Ireland will make you cry. The STDs in Ireland are not necessary. So go to your clinic and get your STD check for free. Oh, we're in. It's great to be home, Katie.
Oh, it's great to be home.
It's great to be home. All right, well, we better get off the road. We better get off the podcast.
I'm going to go get myself some salt and vinegar tomatoes.
Ooh. Oh, really? But I feel like cheese and onion is the thing people miss more, you know?
Salt and vinegar is my favorite. Since I've been home, I've had a breakfast sandwich, soup, so much tea. I'm, like, over-caffeinated. And going to have salt and vinegar crisps
what
when I get
of soup
to work.
What kind of Irish soup is it that you missed?
The
thick vegetable
thick
soup with brown bread.
Brown bread and the butter. And I know I don't eat dairy, but I don't care.
Oh, butter. Like fucking, like lube for your digestive system.
So good. Real butter, so
and
good.
So
I'll definitely put on a little weight before I go back, but I don't care.
Oh, yeah, you got to get those fucking Irish hips back, you
know?
Yeah,
I know.
Get your
my
fucking
ties.
Potato arse going.
My sister goes, oh, you have a bit of a tie gap there. I never see anyone with a tie gap.
A tie gap.
I was like, give me the bread.
Oh, fucking the potatoes will get rid of that thigh gap quick, smart.
Yeah.
Never mind your fucking thigh gap.
I've
no,
eaten
kid.
So much potatoes. I had shepherd's pie.
It's a long way from a fucking thigh gap. You were rare, no.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? They were like, you're looking a bit tin.
My potatoes with my Kerrygold and my brown bread in my soup.
Oh, ooh.
I've missed it so much. The thigh gap makes me whoop. Sorry,
you're great at like just making it up
oh,
as you
come
go
on,
along.
That's rubbish.
Not the whoop, but the
that,
Sinn,
that
the,
was rubbish.
I was about to say the Sinn Féin song. What are we talking about?
The Sinn Féin song.
The STD song.
Oh, the STD song's going to number one.
STD.
Yeah.
I guess because it reminded me of that one on the bus where kids would be shouting that and really that song that I actually don't like. But anyway.
What song?
Oh, I'd be always on the bus all the time. They'd be like. Sinn Féin. Oh, it's like.
Oh, come on.
What? Oh, Jesus! Everybody's gonna know now. And they're gonna be like, "Come on, Katie."
I should know the song. I know all the songs, but I don't know the one you're talking about.
It literally be just on the back of the bus on school tours, and they'd be like, and it's like praising that, like.
Oh, up the rap.
Yeah.
Here we go again. We're on the road again. We're on the road again. We're on our way to paradise. We're in the jungle deep. That's where the lion sleeps. For all those evil eyes, we'll find our way to there is no place in paradise.
graffiti on the wall. Just as the sun was going down, it says graffiti on the wall. From the Celts, graffiti on the wall. They say it's magic, graffiti on the wall.
That's not it.
Graffiti on the wall. And it says, ooh, ah, up the ra, say, ooh, ah, up the ra. Ooh, ah, up the ra, say, ooh, ah, up the ra. Wasn't that one, no?
No, I think it's the I think it's the Country Road song, and then it has a...
Country Road?
And then they change it where it's like, ooh, it's like, and then the kids will shout, Sinn Féin, and then IRA, and then...
I don't know that one. I only remember. Know the actual Rebel songs.
I didn't like it because it'd be annoying, because it'd be always... And I didn't... Yeah.
What about, I was born in a Dublin street where the Ryle drums do beat, and the laugh of British feet, they walked all over us. And each and every night, when me father'd come home tight, he'd invite the neighbours outside with this chorus. Ah, come out, your blackened hands, come out and fight me like a man. Show your wives how you won battles down in Flanders, and how the IRA made you run like hell away from the green and lovely lanes of Killeshandrol. No, not that one, no.
It's not the same, but I love that song. I do love that song. Wait, just let you just talk for a second. Let me think.
So you think it's Country Road? Take me home to the place I belong. Do you think it was that?
Oh, I just, and I can't remember. I need to ask one of my friends.
Was it armored cars and tanks and guns? They can take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the man behind the wire. No.
No.
Ah, Jesus. My Irish-American upbringing is bringing you nothing.
And it's so, you know what's so funny? Because this song, they would sing it on repeat and repeat and repeat. Like, it could be a 2-hour.
Was it Boule of Vogue?
And they'd be like, ooh, ah, up the rah.
That's what I just did.
Oh, no. But it was like, they, and then they go, Sinn Féin. And then they go, oh, it's like a, it's a song that's already there, but the kids have changed it. Oh, I can't, Des, I can't.
Was it Bold Robert Emmett?
What's that?
Bold Robert Emmett, the darling of Erin. No?
Definitely no.
Bold Robert Emmett, he died with a smile. Sorry. I know them all.
It is Country Roads. We have do 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 IRA. As lonely as the fields of Rattenrye.
No, that's not Country Road. That's the fields of Rattenrye.
Oh, fields of Rattenrye. Thank
By
you.
By lonely that's prison walls. Oh, that, yeah.
Because I actually do like that song, but when you hear
I
it a million times.
I heard a young girl calling. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had
sing
their...
that, though. Because yeah. That's just been taken over by, you know, chanting and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. It was the chant that... I actually liked the song, but I didn't like the chant.
Did you see the... There was a video online of a bunch of loyalists at a wedding in Belfast.
No.
And they were doing Simply the Best, but then during Simply the Best, they'd say, fuck the Pope and the IRA. But it was like the bride was doing it.
The bride was doing it?
Yeah, she was like, fuck the... It's like, what a wedding.
Jesus.
Anyway, listen, we're well off the fucking... the track of what our podcast normally is, you know?
So, and then everybody had sex.
Yeah, and then they had sex to consummate the marriage and create another little loyalist, another little bit of fucking, you know, lack of hope for the future, you know, sectarian hate.
Dun dun. I always hate that I need to know more about everything, but all of my opinions are my dad's. And
about the IRA.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not getting into it.
Don't fucking out your dad one way or
no,
the other.
No, I'm not. But, you know, that's my...
he's a guard, you know. Yeah, so I assume he wasn't very happy about, you know, Jerry McCabe and all that. You know, it's complicated. But we're not a history podcast.
And I don't even know. You know, I was so bad with that when I was younger, like at listening to what was going on, and I kind of am ashamed of it now because.
But why should you be ashamed? It's very complicated, and everyone likes to have their simple views on it, but it's not simple. It's very nuanced. Yeah. It's very complicated, and anyone who likes to just dismiss one group over another. Has not appreciated how difficult and nuanced it is.
In fairness to my dad, he's very like liberal and understanding and stuff, and he's explained a lot of it as best to me as possible, which is, you know, and in not in like negative terms, but again, I wish, because like I grew up when a lot of this stuff was happening and I just wasn't really paying attention, and then I go over to America and they ask me about it and I'm like,
oh, well, Americans have a sort of a rose-tinted view of the troubles.
They do.
In fairness, I was raised with it, but now I know it's more nuanced. But nuance doesn't write a good rebel song.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Good rebel
nuance
song
doesn't write a good fucking rebel song.
Just singing, and it's fun to sing.
It was on the dreary New Year's Eve as the shade of night came down. A lorry load of volunteers came across the border town. There were men from Dublin and from Cork, Fermanagh and Tyrone. But the leader was a Limerick man, Sean South from Garryowen.
It's just, it's hard to write a fucking good rebel song if you're making judgments about the border campaign of the 1950s. You can't be making judgments. It's not easy.
Do you like Damien Dempsey?
No, I love Damien.
He's my favourite. Plus, he's a really nice
Damien
man.
Damien Dempsey thanks me on his album. I launched one of his albums before.
He's so nice. He said that he was going to, when he was playing Leaslip, that he would shout me out for Your Pretty Smile and would be dedicated to me at that Leaslip, because I used to serve him every year. He's the nicest. He like
Damien Dempsey
hooked up my parents when they went to see him.
He's a great man.
And he gave me money for America.
He's not very nuanced now on the old Sinn Féin. He'd be leaning one way on that one now, you know.
But I love his Connolly song. Or Colony? Yeah, Connolly. That's my
James
favorite.
James Connolly.
No, Colony.
Oh, like. Colony. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite
songs. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Now,
there's a bit of fucking pain in that one, you know.
Yeah, but it's just brilliant. Or you know? To Heller Barbados. Oh, all his songs. I should go see him while I'm home.
You'll have to see him.
I love him so
much. No negative vibes.
Oh, I'm just going to move back to Ireland. Yeah, negative.
I feel the city's love. The apple of my eye. I cherish whore.
I love him.
New York, I'm coming.
That's great.
That's what I sing every time I'm bursting the hole off an Irish bird.
They should do Irish karaoke where you can just go sing Irish like songs that I know.
Every fucking bar in Woodlawn.
Oh, really? No, they do Damien Dempsey, though.
Of course they do Damien Dempsey.
Oh, because, you know, I go to these karaoke places in, like, New York, and I'm like, oh, I just want to get up there and sing a Damien Dempsey song.
Sing it.
Yeah. There was... Well,
sing one. Go on, sing one.
No.
Have a go. Come on, Katie. Come on.
No, because I'm actually not good at singing.
Come on, it's a fucking sing song. It's 3 a.m. and your uncle's trying to molest you. Come on, sing a song. Oh. It's the only way to save yourself from being abused.
Come on, sing
a song. Your uncle's drunk. You know the way he gets.
I'll take it. I can't.
I'll grab your arm and I'll wind you. That's a Connemara thing, you know?
I can't do it, mate. Even like if
come
I tried.
On, sing
no.
It. Sing a fucking Damien Dempsey song.
No.
Fuck's sake.
You know what I love? Messiah.
What? Sing
oh,
it.
No, and You're Pretty Smiling is my favourite.
Sing it.
No, I'm not doing it. And don't you harass me in DMs afterwards. Also, when we were joking about the dick pic, I didn't really want fucking dick pics walking the Camino. No. Thank you. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you haven't told... You said that to me before we got in the car.
Well, I think the podcasting listeners know that a few episodes ago, I joked about how they sent... did I say who it was? They sent one of our... listeners dick pics and
they hadn't sent you one.
It was a joke, and then I got three.
Of course you were going to get a dick pic.
I know, but timing, lads. Now walking the Camino with my family.
Oh, what are you going to do, you know?
That was me changing conversation, so
you
can stop never, me.
Well, come
sing.
On. You should have sang. You can't say you love, you want to do fucking Irish karaoke. And
oh,
that's,
but it's different. I'd have a few
but
drinks
we've
in me.
Yeah, but Katie, we've established that
my
sex.
My
sex,
shame is singing.
Sex and singing are better when you're sober. You're aware
no,
of yourself.
No, singing's not. Singing's better when you have at least one glass of wine in you. You're like, oh, I'm great.
Come on, Katie.
No, it's not going to happen.
One fucking line. For Damien, he's listening. Damo.
For Damien, one line.
Katie, come on, Katie.
Okay.
Give me Katie.
It's really bad and nobody judged me. I never said I was good. Your pretty smiling can light up any room. See, I'm bad.
I think the whole of Ireland, or certainly the people that listen to our podcast, are smiling right now.
I love that song.
A beautiful
so
moment from Katie Boyle to finish the podcast.
God, that took a lot of arm twisting.
Take us out, Damien. Listen. We're going to play Damien under the end of the episode. It's the end of the episode, Katie. I'm not going to do anything afterwards. I'll tell people about that TED Talk later on. Damien's playing under us right now. Say goodbye to our listeners.
Bye, our Damien. Bye, Des.
No, to our listeners.
Oh, bye,
it's the end of the podcast, Katie.
Bye, listeners.
Damien's playing underneath.
Love yous.
I'm hoping I know him well enough that we won't get hit for a rights issue that we played the podcast. We played a song on the podcast.
Thanks, Damien, for the money when I went to America.
Oh, yeah.
And he likes Shadow of the Pop, I remember.
And remember, we're in Cork City this week, but you won't be able to go because the shows are sold out. However, I'm in Newry, Saturday night. I'm in Cookstown, County Tyrone, next Thursday. Mullingar as well. There's plenty of tickets left for Mullingar. We don't know why. Mullingar's a bit slow on the old tickets. So come to Mullingar in 2 weeks' time. Katie will be in Thurles. That's pretty much sold out. You won't be able to get tickets to that. Vicar Street, there's still a few tickets left on the Sunday if you want to go to that.
On the Sunday.
And sure, there's desbishop.net/tour dates. There's plenty of tour dates around the country. Come and check it out now. At desbishop on Instagram. Katie, at Katie Boyle Comic.
DM us. Not penis pics, though. I'm grand.
No dick pics. And
thanks.
Sure. Spread the word about the podcast, as always, lads. We need another.
Dude.
We need another injection of new listeners. We had a good injection there for a while. We feel like we need some fresh blood.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about. I've had a few questions on Instagram. We'll talk about them in the next ep. Yeah, we got some great eps coming up. We got an ep about infidelity, and then we're gonna have a few Irish guests on. We have loads of podcasts coming up. So.
Yay!
We'll talk to you soon, everyone.
Slán, au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Everybody. Grandma,
will I turn it off?
By Mozarash. Shachtin' Shahogan by Mozarash. There's an episode new. I don't know. Fui Corky. Fui Corky. Grandma, Slán. Slán.
Grandma,
Gui. Grandma, Gui.
Grandma, Gui.
Slán.
Hi. So I just pressed the record button.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.